Okay, hello, ladies, gents. Thanks very much for coming along. This is the third time now I've stood in front of the KDE community and talked about research. It's starting to feel like my home away from home. Talking about something a little bit different today. Normally in the past I've been talking about software quality. There's a quality aspect to this, but it's actually going to be something slightly different from if you've seen my talks in the past. I'm going to talk about this. I stand before you today a sad person. I'm sad today for two reasons. One, yesterday during the photograph session outside, Wade Olson came up to me and said, "Do you mind if I heckle during your talk?" This was sad for two reasons. One, because I have no idea what he's going to do. Is he here? I have no idea what he's going to do. And the other thing is, asking permission to heckle is kind of not really in the spirit of it. I'm sad for another reason. We live in a world where there's very few guarantees. And this is a sad thing. It's hard to plan for life, apart from three things. And really, my talk today is about one of those three things. The unavoidable truths of life, the things which, no matter who you are, your race, your gender, where you come from, any of these things, there are three things which, I'm sorry to say, are going to happen to the lot of us. You will die. This is a true, unavoidable truth. Seb Ass is the lucky one, I think, out of this group, unless Captain Scarlet happens to be in the room. I'm afraid you're going to die. You are going to be taxed, whether you like this or not. And the third thing, success inevitably makes you attractive. And quite often people say to me, is this really a universal truth? I think it is. The example I always give is John Prescott. John Prescott, for those you might know, he was a one-time MP in the UK. And yes, he was the object of desire for many a secretary, purely because he was the Deputy Prime Minister and possibly some other reasons. So, well, how does this apply really kind of like to the KDE community? So, if you're really insistent on getting laid at Academy, you have to make yourself look successful as quickly as you possibly can. And really kind of what I'm going to do in my talk is talk about, how can we make ourselves look successful properly? But if you're really in a hurry, the trick at Academy is to make sure you come across as a useful, regular contributor, that you're a team player, that you are good-humored, that you are generally a good egg and very much part of the community. Now, if you don't... None of the creepy stuff with whips. So if you don't have any of these characteristics, or not all of them, then there is a very simple solution, which is try and convince people that you are Kevin Ottens. If you could pull that off, then you are fine. Is Kevin, are you here? It's good to see you too, Kevin. Because the John Prescott of KDE, because if you could pull that off, I mean, look, statistically speaking, there's at least three people creaming their jeans right now just because they're in the same room as Kevin. So, you know, that's the way around that. It is creepy. So what am I actually here to talk about? So I am talking about how can we make ourselves look successful and how can we plan our success in the future. As I said before, most of the talks in the past I've done have been about quality measurement and things like this. I'm doing something a little bit more general today. But yes, I am a researcher of quality. Quality is the thing I spend most of my time looking on. I look at process and people and how they affect quality. I'm a member of the EV, and for those of you who pay attention to Planet KDE, you might have seen my blog, Green Eggs and Ham, where I talk about researchy stuff, amongst other things. Okay, so basically what I really want to talk today about is, as a growing community, as a growing project, what are the things we can plan for and how can research help us deal with those problems as they arise? Research really is all about finding solutions to problems. And so we're in an honored position now where KDE works on all of the useful platforms now. And one of the first problems this is going to create for us is that our user community is going to grow very quickly. So one of the first things I want to talk about, and I hope this doesn't seem like I'm teaching granny to suck eggs, but sometimes people don't appreciate this. Communities generally in the free software world kind of look like this. So on the outside, we have the passive users. These are the people who use software but don't necessarily for any particular reason, don't actually contribute back in any way. They just use the software. And at first, as our applications become more sort of mainstream in the Windows and the Mac world, I think especially, we're going to end up with a lot more passive users as part of our community. And we do need to understand how to deal with them for reasons I'm about to explain. We then have the active users. The active users are the people who actually click that button which says report this bug. They're the people who actually take an interest in the project, come to the website, try and find out a little bit more about it than just actually using the software. And again, that's going to grow as well. Then at the heart of it, you have co-contributors and actual primary contributors. So this is basically people who submit patches, or at the center, the people who actually write the code in the first place. And I'm going to come back to them later in my talk. But for the time being, I want to talk about the users. Basically, if you think about how people interact with the free software community, generally they walk across the center of this onion model. They come in from the outside and sort of head towards the middle, maybe eventually getting right there to the center, committing lots of code, making very large, meaningful contributions, and then they start walking back out again eventually. Some people jump out. But basically, you somehow walk your way across and get back out again at some point. And if we have lots more people walking into the KDE community, because hopefully we want to turn some of those users into future developers, we need to know how to kind of deal with that and actually measure it and have process around it. So if you have a growing user base, you have to start paying more attention to what those users want. And so I'm not trying to get across the idea that I'm not here to try and turn all our hackers into researchers, not at all. What I'm trying to do is kind of help people understand that there are little things you can do for yourselves which help you know and understand what users want a little bit better. And one of the first things I want to talk about is benchmarking. It's not something that in this project we do formally on any kind of grand scale, but it's something I'd like to see a lot more of, because as the writers of the software, we know it and what it should be capable of a lot better than anyone else does. And we really need to start formalizing that. Now, benchmarking, there's not too much to it. First off, you just need a plan. You just need to know what are the kind of things I want to achieve in my benchmarking and why. Now, in this case, I'm specifically talking about we should be benchmarking for the sake of educating users, for showing off that why this is better than Project Foo or whatever. And it's basically just very simple measurements, which is why I really want to get this idea that you don't have to be a researcher. Hackers can do this. Anyone can do this. It's not really hardcore research stuff. Should be done regularly. Think about like what the EBN does, the English Breakfast Network. Has anyone not seen the English Breakfast Network? Excellent. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. It's that kind of stuff. You should be able to publish your results on a regular basis as well, so people can actually see what you're doing and if it's getting any better. Controversial one, compare. I would very much advocate if you're doing this benchmarking stuff, then you should compare with your known counterpart. How are we performing against our competitors? And then the important thing is reacting. Hopefully this drives feedback. You want your users to tell you that's not fast enough or this is not good enough or whatever. And you need this feedback mechanism built into your benchmarking so that you can come back and say, okay, I know I need to react to this. So to go over some ground I've done before, it was early on in the days of my blog, I took console from KDE 3.5.8 and from 4.0. And all I did was I catted the English dictionary and timed it to see how long it took. Okay, that's the kind of thing you can do. And so one of the things I'm hoping that's going to come out of KDE Research in the future is as a team we're going to help projects build these benchmarking suites and hopefully get them publishing their results and doing it on a regular basis. And it's very important because it's a way of informing users about how good or not the product is, if it's getting any better. And like I said, getting feedback, which is that's the way of getting users in at first. It's allowing them to be able to make a contribution in a very easy way. Surveying. So this is another way. Now, when I talk about surveying, I'm not necessarily talking about sending out questionnaires or having focus groups or anything like that. What I'm generally talking about is just, in some way, soliciting feedback in general. Now, it's incredible when you. I don't know how many of you are on a sort of regular basis. I'm in a sort of privileged position that on a regular basis I talk with some fairly senior people at Microsoft. And they're interested in what I do as a researcher because one of the things they like to talk about is the fact that they fire a lot of money into marketing as a way of making sure that customers get what they want. Whereas in the free software world, we are in a privileged position. We can always produce something which the proprietary world cannot ever do, is that people don't want to pay for software. And yet, they do lots of marketing. They really get their users involved, and they produce products which are packaged in such a way, and I'm not talking about physical packaging, but the whole sort of culture around it, which makes people still want to buy it, even though they in their heart of hearts know that it's rubbish. Now, we're in a kind of sad position where we don't have the sort of millions of megabucks behind us where we can just fire out this kind of marketing and sort of, you know, make people want to come and use KDE. However, we are in a position where it's easier for us to show that people on the outside of the onion are just as much as part of the project as we are at the heart of it. And so we should be making more attempts to solicit opinion in any way we can in order to make sure that the people on the outside of the onion do feel like part of the inside of the onion. Because when Microsoft go out and spend lots of money on focus groups and marketing and stuff like that, or Apple do the same, or whoever, it's a very effective way of making sure that their customers do feel like part of the process. And I think the free software world in general, speaking now from my history of also working in Zope and Plone, not necessarily as good at making users feel like they are part of the process. And as our community inevitably grows over the next few years with the way we spread over the different platforms, it's something we're very much going to have to look out for, is how do we start dealing with these growth in users, and more importantly, their opinions. So, as we head in towards the center of the onion now, we're going to have a growing developer base. Like I said, you hope that people are going to walk through the center of the onion and hang around in the middle for a while. So, this is something, I actually apologize for this, because if anyone paid attention to my blog recently, you'll have seen these before. It's important that you sort of start keeping an eye on people as they do walk towards the center of the onion, because you want to hold on to them. You want to make them feel welcome, make them active contributors, give them stuff to do, and make sure they're having a good time. And one of the good things about KDE is people hang around here because it's a fun place to hang out, and you want to make sure that stays as a piece of culture. So I was very pleased the other day when Lydia had been paying attention to the Amarok community, which is a community manager's probably a good thing. And she said to me, "We've got faster. We have sped up." To which my first question is, for what definition of sped up? So we had this long-winded conversation about what sped up mean. And I came up with these. So this is my visualization of how Amarok has sped up recently. For those of you who haven't seen the green blob graphs, anyone not seen these before? Suna's not seen them before. Okay, Suna, this is just for you. So if you look at the green blobs, reading across from left to right, they're in columns, and each column is a week. And then as you read down, you've got SVN accounts. So these are the people who are actually committing things. And it's very simple. If you commit, you get a green blob. If you didn't commit, you get white. And so one of the first we can see here, so the Amarok green blob graph is actually very huge, but the one we've got here is just the very bottom tip of it. And so one of the things you can see there is all of a sudden you've got kind of a very dense patch of green. You've got lots more people doing lots more commits all of a sudden, which is very good, obviously. It's good to see that sort of development work has picked up. What's more important is understanding why. So one of the first questions I asked Lydia when when I did this, actually put it on my blog, was to ask, okay, so why is there more green now? And that's really the crucial thing is, so now knowing that there is more developers around and they're doing more work is one thing. You want to know why they're around, why they're doing more, and how you can maintain that. So the question here was why, and largely I think the answer was Google Summer of Code was the main driver behind this. There was a few other things as well. It's bizarrely, one of the answers was it's now easier to take part. I don't know why it's easier to take part in Amarok these days, but apparently it is. But Google Summer of Code was certainly one of the drivers. On the right here, what we have is commits per day. So one of the things I thought of when we talk about so they've sped up is just a simple measure of activity is how many commits are going through Subversion. So all I did was over time I plotted commits per day. And again, at the end here, sort of around the same time period which the green blobs covers, you can see there's this nice rise in activity. Again, it's good to see that not only are there more people, but they're actually more active. Something else I wanted to reintroduce today was talking about, so how do you recognize when people are going to stay around in the first place? So as more and more people walk through our onion and head towards the center of KDE, it's very important to make sure that we spend the time to nurture people in the community and help them find their place and make sure that they have something to do. Because as soon as someone has something to do and they've found their place, chances are they're going to stay around. So one of the things I first noticed when I started plotting these green blob graphs is if you look for each person, generally, you can kind of intuitively see that if someone commits in their first 3 weeks, so if by a name you immediately have three green blobs, chances are they're going to hang around afterwards. If you look at the people there who have got three green blobs by their names, they tend to stay around a lot longer than the people who don't immediately have three green blobs by their names. Now, there's a few ways you can sort of read into this and what the implications of that are. It might mean if you give someone 3 weeks of work, they are likely to hang around. It might be if they're self-motivated to find 3 weeks of work, they are more likely to hang around. The point is, however, we do have limited human resources within our project, just like any other free software project does. If you can identify the people who are more likely to stay around up front, then it does make the management of the community a lot easier. So one of the challenges we're going to have is, so people have now walked through the onion, they've come in from users, and they're becoming developers, is working out how you manage the people that have got to the center, how you deal with them, and making sure you can identify the people who are probably going to need the most nurturing, in other words, the people who don't commit in the first 3 weeks, or the people who can be basically let loose to do their thing forever, evermore, because you can be trusted after they've done their 3 weeks, they're probably going to hang around. So the big problem, and this is really kind of the root cause of everything, is we are going cross-platform. We are now available absolutely everywhere with the exception of Plan 9. This is going to cause problems because we're going to have a lot of users and we're going to have a lot of expectations to manage and we're going to have a lot of people heading towards the center of our onion. So I've jokingly said here we have to stop hard-coding /proc. That's a specific technical case of a more general problem, which is we cannot now either be platform agnostic or platform specific. We have to pick one and we have to go with it. And this is going to be one of the areas where really the KDE research program, or specifically the software engineers within the KDE research program, are going to have to really start spending some time. Because both approaches can work. We can start writing lots of Solaris-specific code, which is kind of what always gone now, but that's what Adrian does a lot of. And we can start doing a lot of stuff specifically for Mac. Or we can start introducing abstraction layers which hide the operating system and specifically process data or whatever from people who work higher up at the application level. If we don't pick one of these approaches before too long, we are actually going to enter into a kind of a technical mire. And it's kind of one of the things that really some of the researchers, if they've got time to do it, the software engineers are really going to have to start looking into, because otherwise it's going to be very problematic for us. And the other one I think I briefly mentioned just now is the other thing is managing expectations. As we do move on to the other platforms, their user bases have very different cultures around them. I have a very odd culture, which is, for those of you who know me well enough, you'll know that my desktop looks like this. I like working out of console. We've already had Plan 9 aid, so. I like working out of console. I do pretty much everything I can from the command line normally. But no one on Windows has ever worked like this, really. And so you then have to start thinking about, okay, so what is the culture of the users around Windows? What are the cultures around people who use macOS, and how do we deal with those? Because obviously we've come very much from a Unix culture background, and we are now taking our software to other platforms. And so we have an opportunity here where actually a lot of the research is not technical anymore. It's about people. It's about understanding how people use software, why people use software, and the way in which they use it, and making sure that as we produce KDE in a cross-platform manner, we're ensuring ourselves that we're producing it in a way in which the expectations of the other kinds of users are met, which is why I'm really looking forward in the future that KDE research is kind of a new thing within KDE, but we have a very well-established usability group. And I'm very much looking forward to getting those groups working together to ensure that problems like this, like managing expectations of the people on the other platforms as they grow as users, are really kind of met and dealt with. So kind of really just kind of like to wrap up, KDE research is not necessarily about turning, I think I said early on, it's not really about turning everyone in KDE into researchers. There are people within KDE, like myself, who have research careers. There are people who have done PhDs and gone to other, we have the skills in-house. So it's not really about turning people into researchers. But it is something that KDE can do. And Like I said, other free software projects I've worked on in the past, that's not necessarily for them, was actually the case. And I think if we have the ability to do it, we should at least try. An example of kind of how well prepared we are is a brief mention for the Squash project. Do I need to explain the Squash project, or are people sort of reasonably aware of it? Okay. So the Squash project was reasonably unique in the free software world in that the EV was actually a funded partner in it. The EV, how much did the EV receive from the EC? Okay, so the EV received about 10,000 euros from the European Commission. The whole project was worth about 3 million euros, something along those lines. And this is pretty unique. The only other free software in the project in the past that's directly received funding from the EC that I know of is the PyPy project. There may be some more, but very few anyhow. And for those of you, if you've ever seen or taken part in EC-funded work before, the important thing is we got through. The project's not actually quite finished yet. It's got a couple of months to go. But the fact of the matter is, despite the mounds of bureaucracy, which is kind of expected by European Commission funding, the project was actually stable enough and mature enough that we could actually take part, which is really good news because it means it's something we can maybe think about exploring again in the future. This was really an experiment for KDE, but it's something now at least we've got a starting point for, something we're prepared for. And yeah, I mean, the good result is the Squash project is, by the time it's finished in a couple of months, will actually be reasonably successful, which for European Commission-funded research is near miraculous. So yeah, so despite these successes, KDE Research is not about milking millions of euros out of the EC, but we can. We can get euros out of other places as well. It's really about two things. This is kind of, as the group moves forward, I hope this is kind of the message it really gets across. First is about education. It's making sure that those of us who do have researchy, academic-y type backgrounds are making sure that the information which comes out, the new stuff which comes out, really does feed through to the rest of the community. And where it is important is sort of hopefully embraced. And the other thing is, I mean, this might sound sort of like totally obvious, but it's about helping. Not everyone is a researcher. Not everyone is necessarily prepared to set up their benchmarking infrastructure to do some of the other things I've talked about. And really, it's making sure that KDE as a community, as it grows, is prepared for what is coming in the future. So it doesn't need to be formal. I'm now going to invoke, is Will Stevenson here? I'm going to invoke the name Will Stevenson again. When I spoke at the KDE4 launch, I talked about various individuals who have done interesting things and useful things for themselves. Will Stevenson just blogged about the fact that he scaled back his hardware to make sure that KDE4.0 at the time made sure it just ran on low-end hardware. It was an interesting little experiment just to make sure that the engineering of the project's right. And as long as people keep doing that kind of stuff informally, then at least at that level, we will make sure technically as a project we keep moving forward. But however, I think on top of the helping and the education, the crucial thing is KDE Research really should be there to make sure that people are aware that potentially there is trouble ahead, and we should be prepared for it. And research is a good way of making sure that we have the answers. So, I mean, the crucial thing is sharing of ideas ensures that, as a project, we are prepared for what's coming in future. So the cultural aspect I hope that comes out of KDE Research and my blog and other stuff is people do not feel afraid to share ideas to the point that I'm quite happy to put up on the screen that I would be really happy if there was a Qt version for Plan 9. I am a part-time Plan 9 user. Sharing of ideas is very much a good thing. So I'm just going to wrap up by saying thank you very much for listening to this nonsense. I work for a company called Sirius, who's very proud to be an EV supporting member and shall continue to do so for some time. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Paul. Thank you.